at the threshing floor. This is the place where the wheat is separated from the chaff. And now, we begin to gather the Lord's harvest here at the threshing floor.
And this is going to be another study on the plumb line, and this is show number 5, and the subtitle of this show is Fruits and Works. And we're going to be going into that in a moment. I want to go ahead and go over some frequencies with you. We can be heard on 7.415 WBCQ from 7 to 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 7.415 WBCQ from 5 to 8 p.m. Tuesday through Friday. So we just get we actually get an extra hour there, I guess, on Tuesdays and Fridays. Now, we can also be heard on 7.385 WRMI from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., that's Monday through Friday, and on 9.330 WBCQ, 5 to 8 p.m., Monday through Friday. We can also be heard on the C-band satellite at Galaxy 11, Transponder 14, Audio 7.71. Now, you can also catch this on any one of the streams at ChristianMediaNetwork.com and ChristianMediaDaily.com. And also on ChristianMediaResearch.com, you can get a, there's a whole list of different articles that have been printed, over 100 of them at this point, that can get you up to speed and get you up to date on what this Christian Media Network ministry is all about. And also, if you go to soundbounty.com, that is also a website that has health-related and survival issues that Susan Lennox hosts. Now, let me also go ahead and mention another website, which is hosted by Randy Moggins. And on that website, you can get archives of all the Threshing Floor shows. I believe he's getting them up at this point, and there's actually a search engine on it now, so you can actually search the show by title, and it'll take you to that show. So he's done a lot of hard work on that website and getting it up to speed. And that website address is onevoicemm.net. Now, also on that website, each show that we are doing now, each Threshing Floor show, we are starting to post our study notes and for each one of the shows so that you can go ahead and follow those study notes as you're listening to an archive program. And this will just help you to get scripture in front of you so that you can look at it and refer back to it and ponder on it. And so the study notes are also available at that website address. Now, I also wanted one of these shows with, and it can be found in Amos 7, verses 7 and 8. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And then the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not again pass by them anymore. So this plumb line study, Jesus Christ is the verses that I just read to you. Jesus Christ is the plumb line, and he is set in the midst of Israel. And depending upon which side of that plumb line that you are on determines where you are in Christ, if you're in Christ or you're not in Christ. And it's a very, very, you know, when you look at the list, it's a very clear definition of who is in Christ and who is not in Christ. For example, if you're in Rise, then your ultimate end is death. You're in bondage. You're under the law. And we're going to be speaking more about that in the next show, after the Fruits and Works. You're a Gentile. You're uncircumcised in the heart. You can actually just go right on down the list and start looking at each one of these, that you have no fruit. You're in the spirit of error. You're walking after the flesh. You're children of darkness. You're children of the night. You're in unbelief. You're an unbeliever. You're faithless. Your father is the father of lies. And you go right on down the line, and it shows all the characteristics of the person, verses 20 through 23. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. I'm going to stop there for a moment. So what is this talking about? This is Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of his cross, through the blood of the cross. And he reconciled everything unto himself, whether they be things in earth or in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, in other words, you are on the other side of that plumb line, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. So through him he's reconciled you unto God. You know, he's a propitiation for our sins. He's the person that brought us to the Father, because only through Jesus Christ can you get to the Father. And it says to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, when you read this right here, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, you think of the 144,000. It says that they are without fault before the throne of God. Well, that's unblameable, without blame. They're without fault. Now, the 144,000 are on the right-hand side of the plumb line. They're not on the left side. They're not in the side where, you know, the children of darkness, they are the children of the light. They know what's going on. They've woken up. Now, there's a catch to this. When it says that he presents through the body of his flesh through death, he presents you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. There's a catch. Because there's a colon there. And then it continues. If, without fault. Now, the 144,000 are on the right-hand side of the plumb line. They're not on the left side. They're not in the side where, you know, the children of darkness, they are the children of the light. They know what's going on. They've woken up. Now, there's a catch to this. Where it says that he presents through the body of his flesh through death, he presents you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. There's a catch. Because there's a colon there. And then it continues. If. Okay. So you will be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So the catch is that you will be holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. So we've been talking here in the past shows about faith. Well, what is faith? When you're in faith, you're abiding in Christ. You're abiding in the truth. In other words, if you're not in the truth, you are faithless. You are on the other side of that line. You have no faith. And so this right here, and you're in unbelief. When you're a believer, you have faith. Okay, now it says grounded and settled. In the faith, grounded and settled. That word grounded is in Psalms number 2311, and it comes from 2310, and it means to lay a basis for example, literally erect, or figuratively consolidate. Lay the foundation, ground, settle. Now it comes from 2310, and this comes from a derivative of 1587, and it means something put down, for example, a substruction of a building, etc., literal or figuratively, foundation. So this word grounded means foundation. It comes from, if you continue in the faith, that has the foundation. What's the foundation? What the 12 apostles taught. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. You know, this is the Word of God. Now, the word subtle is number 1476, and it's from a derivative of hezomai, which means to sit. Sedentary, for example, by implication, immovable, subtle, steadfast. Well, wait a second. We've read that description or that definition in another word, in another verse. That word settled, okay, so this is talking about, let me back up here just a little bit, faith grounded and settled. So basically it's a foundation, and it means to sit immovable. In other words, you're not going to move away from it. And what does it say right here? It says, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. In other words, you're going to stay there. You're going to stay in the truth. You're not going to move away from it, because what happens when you move away from the truth? You err. You fall away from the truth. And that is what you do not want to do. And so all of these people that are not in the truth have fallen away from the truth. And so, but this right here, the word settled, is also the base word for ground in 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15, it says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So back here in this verse where it's saying, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, that word settled is the same word used for, where it says the pillar and ground of the truth, is the same word used for ground. And it's the substructure. It's staying in one place and not moving away from it. It's staying in the narrow way. Now, Romans 8:14-15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, okay, those that are led by the Spirit of God are in the right side of the plumb line. The others are led by the spirit of error. Okay, they are the sons of God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So if you're led in the Spirit of God, and on that plumb line, on the right side of the plumb line in the thesis, then you can also put the sons of God. That's where the sons of God are. And you're not in bondage, because bondage is on the other side of the line. And fear would be on the other side of the line. You see how you can start going through the verses and start separating them? But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And remember last week when we were talking about abiding in Christ, you have both the Father and the Son. And here we are considered the sons of God. We have received the spirit of adoption. Yeah, we've received the spirit of adoption. That's why we can call him our Father. Now on the other side of the plumb line, whose Father is theirs? The Father of lies. That's their Father. Our Father is God of heaven. Galatians 3:7-8. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, okay, who's of faith? The ones that are in the truth. The ones that are believers. The same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So we are the sons of God. We're the same are the children of Abraham. They were each of the faith because they're led by the Spirit of God. See, all these verses interconnect here. And so this basically just finishes up right here of abiding in Christ. Now when you abide in Christ, you're going to have fruits and you're going to have works. And we're going to go ahead and take a look at that, because this gets very interesting. I'm going to start off with a verse that I actually used for abiding in the abiding portion of the study, because it fits with the fruits also. John 15:1-7. I am the true vine. Of course, this is Jesus talking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Well, that right here, now ye are clean. Okay, well, that goes right into the washing of the word. That's how you're clean. And then clean from sin, because Jesus Christ's blood covers that. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So the branch can't do nothing of itself. It has to abide in the vine. It's the vine that feeds the branch, and it's the branch that produces the fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Okay, well, that right there says that they're destroyed. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Okay, so right here we have a picture of Jesus Christ being the vine, and his vine feeds the branches. And the branch that is abiding in him, staying in the truth, staying in his word, is getting fed by the vine. And so by getting fed by the vine, the branch is going to be producing fruit. It's a byproduct of it. Now, one that is not abiding in Jesus Christ, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Why? Because he's cut off from the vine. The vine is no longer feeding it. It's by itself because it's not abiding in the vine. And it's gathered and cast into the fire and burned. That's the two-thirds that are cut off and die. It goes right back to Romans 11 when it talks about the olive tree. If there, therefore thou shalt continue in his goodness, being the goodness of God, thou shalt not be cut off. Okay, so that's a direct reference to that right there. Now let's go ahead and take a look at the word fruit. It's number 2592, and it comes from 2593. It means to be fertile, literally or figuratively, to be, to bear, bring forth fruitful. Okay, so it means to be fertile. It's going to bring forth fruit. Number 2593 is from 2590 plus 5342, and it means fruit-bearing, figuratively, fruitful. 2590 is probably from the base of 726, and it means fruit as plucked, literally or figuratively, fruit. And 5342 is to bear. So these two are put together, fruit and bear, to be fruit-bearing. So when it's talking about the fruit and bringing forth much fruit, when it's abiding in the vine, it's fruitful. It's going to bring forth fruit. It's a natural byproduct. Now, there are some other verses here that speak about fruit. Colossians 1, 5, and 6. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Okay, right there we've got a clue. Wherefore ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world. So the truth has come unto you, and it says, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Wait, truth sure does have a lot to do with this, doesn't it? Yeah, that's the separation, truth and lies. You're in the truth. You know, you're on the right-hand side of that thesis line, or the right-hand side of the plumb line. If you're not abiding in the truth, you're on the left-hand side. And that's the antithesis side. That's the side that goes to hell. It's not the side that goes to heaven. And so, if you're on the right side of that plumb line, on the thesis side, you're going to bring forth fruit. But it has everything to do with truth. You have to be in the truth. Romans 6:17 through 23. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Well, what form of doctrine was delivered you? The truth, the gospel. Being then made free from sin, okay, so now you're free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness, which is on the right side of the plumb line. Because remember, you're free, you're on the right side, you're free, and in there's righteousness. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Now this is talking about the past, because you were walking after the flesh at that time. You were in bondage. You yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now, and I'm going to insert this right here because you have heard the truth. Okay, now we're going back to scripture. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Okay, so if you're a servant of sin, you're in sin, you're on the left-hand side. You're in lies, you're in bondage, you're in sin, and death is your ultimate end. You were free from righteousness because you had no righteousness in you, because you're in unrighteousness when you're on that side. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? So what fruit did you have when you were over there? You didn't have it. Now let's continue. For the end of those things is death. There it is right there. But now, okay, so now we're showing the other side. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how this thing works here. You know, with the fruit, when you're on the right-hand side of the plumb line, you have fruit. And the fruit is good, because it comes from a good tree, because it's abiding in Christ. Galatians 5:22-23. Let's take a look at what the fruits are, the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Okay, so the fruits of the Spirit are all these things that I just said. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Okay, that's one of the byproducts of the fruit of the Spirit. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So when you have the fruit of the Spirit, you are not under the law, you are in grace. For it says right here, against such there is no law. Ephesians 5, 9 and 10. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And we will be finishing this when we come back from the break. And we'll continue this study on the fruits and works.
At the threshing floor. We'll continue shortly.
Talking about fruits, and in a moment we're going to be going ahead and talking about works. What is actually the difference between fruits and works? Well, let me go ahead and read you this last verse having to do with fruits, because there actually is a little bit of a difference here. In Ephesians 5 and 9 through 10, chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, so for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Okay, so this is the fruit of the Spirit, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. But what it says here, for the fruit of the Spirit is in, okay, that's important there, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So in goodness, righteousness, and truth comes the fruit of the Spirit, because it's in it. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, being temperance, against such there is no law. So the fruit of the Spirit is basically where you are in Christ. This is what comes out of you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. These are the characteristics of one that is abiding in Christ. It comes faith, comes meekness, comes temperance. Against such there is no law. So the fruit of the Spirit are not necessarily the things you do. They're the things that you are because you are abiding in Christ. When the Lord cleanses you and He starts changing you, this is talking about the new creature right here. He brings all of these things into you so that you have these things, these good things come out of you. And so where does the works come in? Well, the works, let me go ahead and read you a verse here. First, this is Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Okay, he's giving us both sides of the plumb line here. So the ones on the right side, they're pure and all things are pure. Okay, that's going to be the fruits of the Spirit. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Nothing. Nothing is pure from them. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. And we're going to come back to this. Now, this work that this is talking about here is number 2041. It means to work, toil, as an effort or occupation, by implication an act, deed, doing, labor, work. So when we look at work, it's actually a pretty much a byproduct of the fruits of the Spirit, because out of the fruits of the Spirit, being, you know, when you're abiding in the truth, when you're abiding in Christ, you personify the fruits of the Spirit. And out of personifying the fruits of the Spirit come the works. And here where it says, and I read this verse here because this is actually talking the other side, it says, but in works they deny Him. Why do they deny Him? Because they're on the withered branch. They have no fruits. And so they do the works, but they don't have any works. In the works they deny Him because they're not coming from the fruit of the Spirit. See, the works, for them to count for anything, they have to come through the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is those that I just read to you. One of them being faith, love, joy, peace. And it says, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Well, let's take a look at this right here. This word reprobate is number 96, and it's from 1 as a negative particle in 1384. It means unapproved, for example, rejected, by implication, worthless. Literally or morally, cast away, rejected, reprobate. So here it says, and unto every good work. So they did good work, but it was reprobate, it was worthless, because it came from the wrong side. In other words, it says, and to them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. When it comes from the other side, it doesn't mean for nothing. It's no fruit. It's bad fruit. It's corrupt fruit. It's evil fruit. When it comes from the good side, through the fruit of the Spirit, it is good work and it is counted for something. In Matthew 7:15, and this gives a better picture of it right here, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? In other words, can you get grapes out of a thorn bush or get figs out of a thistle, you know, that's going to prick you? No, you don't. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Okay, this is the one that's abiding in Christ, the branch that's abiding in the vine. It's a good tree, it brings forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot, it's impossible, cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. So this right here, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Then we go right back to them that are not abiding. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Okay, and then backing up here to this other verse here, where it says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Let's see, and it talks about a corrupt tree. Let's take a look at that. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Corrupt is number 4550, and it's from 4595, and it means rotten. For example, worthless, literally or morally, bad or corrupt. The comparable 4190. When you look up 4190, that's the comparable word to corrupt. When you look that up, it's the same word that's used for evil fruit. That word evil and evil fruit, it's the same word. It's from a derivative of 4192 that means to be hurtful, for example, evil, in effect or influence, and thus differing from 2556, which refers rather to essential character, as well as 4550, which indicates degeneracy from original virtue. Number 2556 is apparently a primitive word, means worthless, intrinsically such, whereas 4190 properly refers to effects. For example, subjectively depraved or objectively injurious, bad, evil, harm, ill, noisome, wicked. And basically these definitions here is this word evil that's used in this verse, it means hurtful, for example, evil, properly in effect or influence, and it differs from 2556, which means worthless, but it's pretty much the same, but it differs a little bit from it, because 2556 refers rather to the essential character of a person. Okay, so these fruits right here, bringing forth evil fruits, they're evil. They're basically hurtful. They're hurtful fruit because they're not good fruit. Now, if we go ahead and go to a parable of the sheep and the goats, and I'll show you where this starts coming into effect here. Matthew 25:31-46. When the Son of Man, the 31-46, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand. Okay, now you can see why this thesis line is on the right-hand side of the plumb line, because that's where the sheep are. But the goats on the left. Okay, so the sheep is on the side of the thesis, the goats are on the antithesis, almost just about did it there. They're on the antithesis side, so every definition in that line is referring to the goats. The goats have these attributes. Okay, and it says here, and he shall set his sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, so he's saying this to the sheep, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous, okay, notice it says the righteous, they're on the right side of the plumb line, answer him, saying, Lord, When saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee first drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And so they're asking him, saying, Lord, when did we do these things? We don't remember doing these things. You know, you say we did all these things. When did we do these things? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Okay, and I'm going to stop there for a moment. So these sheep on the right hand, the Lord is telling them that when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was not clothed, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you visited me. You know, and when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And they're saying, well, when did we do these things? Why are they saying that? Have you ever wondered about that? They're saying these things because when you're abiding in Christ, when you have the fruit of the Spirit, when you have the agape love of the Father, you do these things and don't think twice about it. You're not doing these things like, oh, I'm gonna go. You know, there's a family down here. I think I'm gonna go take them. I'm gonna go take them some hamburger, and this I'm gonna get a reward in heaven for this. That's not your motivation. And that's not your motivation, because what's coming out of your heart when you're abiding in Christ is, you know what? These people are hungry, and I can help them. I've got some extra meat. I'm going to go take it to them. They're not looking for any type of a reward. That's what the difference is here, right here. The sheep on this side, they were never looking for a reward for what they did, because they had the fruit of the Spirit. Because they have the meekness, because they have the temperance, because they have the faith, because they were doing what the Lord wanted them to do. And in doing what the Lord wants you to do, is there something special about that? Does that make you real special because you're doing something for the Lord? No, it doesn't. It makes us obedient. It makes us servants. It makes us obedient. If we're children of God, we do this because we love the Father. That's our motivation. And that's our only motivation. We're not looking for a reward. And so this is the heart of the sheep on the right-hand side. And so they're saying, when did we do these things, Lord? And he's saying, if you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You've done any one of these things, you've done it unto me. And that comes from the fruit. Now, these are the works that we're talking about. The works comes from the fruit of the Spirit, from that place that you are in your heart. Now let's continue here, and then we're going to show the reverse side, and this is where it really starts to come into play. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Uh-oh, you don't want to be one of these guys. Prepared for the angels of the precursor of the devil and his angels. For I was a hunger, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also say unto him, saying, Lord. Okay, let's stop right there. These people that are getting cast into hell, but he just finished giving them this list, saying, you know, when I was hungry, you didn't give me any meat. You didn't feed me. You didn't clothe me. You didn't give me anything to drink. You didn't visit me when I was in prison or sick. And they called him Lord. So they knew who he was. They knew he was Lord. Okay? So this kind of gives you the mindset of where these people are. Now he says, they say, Lord, when shall we be a hungered and a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Okay? Now let's stop right there. So they're saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, or a stranger, naked, or sick, or in prison, and didn't do these things? In other words, we fed you. We had a food bank at our local church. We collected clothes, and we gave them out to people. We did these things. When did we see you hungry and we didn't feed you? You know, we had that food bank. We gave you drink. And you know what? We have a prison ministry. We went and we ministered to people in prison. We went to the hospital and we visited the sick. So they're asking him, he's saying here, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was naked. I was a stranger. I was sick, I was in prison, and you didn't minister to me. And they're saying, when didn't we do this to you? We did all these things. Then shall he answer, saying them, answered them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So what's the difference here? The difference is that these people, they have works. They did works. But the Lord did not recognize the works. And why did he not recognize the works? Because it says here, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. That's Matthew 7:15. So, and if we go back here to this other verse where it says, But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Okay? So they did do good works. But because their works did not come out of the fruits of the Spirit, their work was considered reprobate, and the definition for reprobate is unapproved, rejected, by implication, worthless, cast away, and so their work is thrown away. It's of nothing. That's what gets burned up. So all these things that these people are doing that are not in the right-hand side of the plumb line, it's for nothing. This is where they don't produce any fruit. And what happens when they don't produce any fruit? It's cut off and cast away, and that is exactly the two-thirds that are cut off and died. The two-thirds that are cut off and die are in Zechariah chapter 13, verse, I believe it's 8 and 9. That's the two-thirds that get cut off and die. It's the goats, right here, where it talks about they're thrown into everlasting punishment. They're thrown into hell. They're burned into fire. That's where the bad, that's where the branch that is withered is thrown. That's where the corrupt tree is thrown. It's thrown into the fire. And so the separation of the sheep and the goats. Now one thing I would like to note here is that the sheep, when do they get their reward? So they actually get a reward, and it's everlasting life. He says, enter thou into the kingdom. Okay? And the, let me go ahead. Yeah, where it says, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. When does that happen? That happens at the seventh trumpet. Remember it says that when Jesus comes, his reward is with him. And if you look in those verses having to do with the seventh trumpet, that's basically what they call the righteous seat of judgment. That's when he gives his rewards to his servants. And these goats right here, this is the white throne judgment. This is when they are judged. They are judged at the white throne judgment. And because they are not on the right-hand side of the plumb line. When Jesus Christ comes at the end of the tribulation, he brings his reward unto his servants, the people that are on the right-hand side of the plumb line. The ones on the left-hand side of the plumb line, the goats, they are judged at the white throne judgment. So we're looking to be when he comes back from the tribulation, when he brings his reward. That's our reward. We don't look for a reward for the works that we do. We don't do the work for we don't have that intention. But the other side does, because they think they're laying it up for themselves in heaven. But they've got a surprise coming. Now let's continue here in Jude 12 and 13. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, okay, so these are people that are feasting with you, they're side by side with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Okay, so they have no water in them, and that goes right to the plumb line, that goes right to the water, fountains of living water. They have no water in them. Jesus Christ is the fountain of living water. These are they without water. And it says, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Well, how are they twice dead? Well, remember we were all dead in our sins? Well, they're twice dead because they were dead in their sins. They came to the truth when they repented. They went back into the lies, and so they are twice dead because they never came out of the lies. raging waves of the sea foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now these are people whose their trees, whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now this word fruit, you look up the word fruit, you know, it depends on which context is being used in. Now this fruit, in fruit withereth, is number 5352. It's totally different from the fruit definitions we gave earlier. It means to wane, akin to the base of 5351. If you remember waning, when you have a waning moon, it's going into darkness. And it comes from the base of 5351 and 3703, meaning late autumn. Autumnal, I hope I pronounced that right, as strip of leaves where fruit withers. Now, when you're going into autumn, you know, the leaves come off of the tree, the fruit withers, it dries up. That's what this is referring to. And the without fruit, where it's talking about they are without fruit, twice dead, that fruit is number 175. It means barren, literally or figuratively, without fruit, unfruitful. Okay, so now what we're looking at here is we're looking at, you know, there's no fruit. And if you go ahead and look on the plumb line, the no fruit is going to be the evil fruit. The evil fruit, no fruit, the same thing. And it says here that it's barren. It's without fruit. Now here's another thing where it talks about works. Okay, because that's describing the fruit that comes from the dead tree. The vine that is not abiding in Jesus Christ. It withers up. It's no good. It gets burned. Now in James chapter 2, 14 through 26, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Okay? So let me read that again. "Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" So here he's saying, if a man says he has faith but doesn't have works, can faith save him? Well, let's go ahead and read on. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled." Okay, well, you're kind of giving them the depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. You know, you're producing faith, okay? But it says, "Notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" So these people are hungry and basically destitute, and you're telling them, "Oh, peace be God with you. You know, go with you." But you don't give them a meal? You know, this is a faith without works. And remember, the one without works, they're withered, they get thrown in the fire. Okay, verse 17. Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. "Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Now, why is that? Because faith is going to produce the fruits of the Spirit. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, is faith. And out of the fruits of the Spirit comes works. But a good tree is going to produce fruit. It's going to be fruitful. If it's not fruitful, then they are not in the faith. Because if you're abiding in Christ, you have faith, and you're going to produce good fruit, because you're fruitful. And the good fruit is the fruits of the Spirit, and out of the fruits of the Spirit come the works. You see how this works here? No pun intended. "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." See, these things work hand in hand. "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Basically, okay, so you believe in one God. Well, that's fine, but the devils believe it also. So what makes you different from them? "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Now, if you notice, when he offered Isaac, he did something. That's the work. That's something you do, an act or a deed. Okay? Seest thou how the faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so here we're going to be ending this show. So let your works come out through the fruit of the Spirit. And may the Lord bless the remnant of Israel. And may he have mercy upon the multitude. God bless you all. Good night.
You're now leaving the threshing floor. This is the place where the wheat is separated from the chaff. The gathering of the Lord's harvest will continue when you return next time to the threshing floor.